Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
If you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, simply go to aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Remember, your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air.
On today's broadcast, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
He's Gabe Lyons from Think Media. Gabe has a distinct, articulate, and positive approach to the role Christian faith can play in improving human societies. I truly believe that Gabe is a pioneering thought leader for such a time as this. His books include Good Faith, Being a Christian When Society Thinks You're Irrelevant, and Unchristian, What a New Generation Really Thinks About Christianity. Gabe's work represents a timeless yet current perspective on faith's role in culture. So my friends, without further ado, let's go to that conversation now. Gabe, thank you so much for joining me today.
Zach, great to be with you.
Man, it is a blessing just to get the opportunity to just listen in and just hear a little bit more about the incredible mission and message that the Lord has placed on your heart to help people grow as thought leaders for such a time as this. But before we dive in and we unpack all the incredible things that you're doing, I have to mention up front here, we have a couple of things in common. We both attended LCA. Back in the day, it was Lynchburg Christian Academy. For me, it was Liberty Christian Academy, the feeder high school into Liberty University, where we got to attend, but we also both played quarterback. And then I have to ask this because, Gabe, my mom listens to every episode. So another thing we had in common is that we got to experience Julie Clinton as a teacher. You in the classroom, me within the home. I got to ask you, so she can listen and laugh, what was Julie Clinton like as a sixth grade math teacher?
That's right. Sixth grade, I wasn't a big fan of math, but I will say I think I made it through the class. She was awesome. I mean, listen, I mean, what, I was 12 years old? I don't know. She must have been 20 years old. I mean, it was great. It was a great experience at Lynchburg Christian Academy at the time. And I actually got to tour that the other day, and I hadn't seen the new facilities. It was amazing to just see the school and all that that's become and all the growth there. But but yeah, that's my claim to fame, that Julie Clinton taught me math.
What a safe and just a kind answer. My mom will be thrilled to hear that one from you, Gabe. That's right, though. You were recently at Liberty University. You spoke at Convocation. You did just an unbelievable job. It was so fun just to hear you, and I'm so blessed, you know what I mean, just to be able to dive into a little bit more of what you're doing today. Gabe, for you personally, going to LCA, attending Liberty, I'm interested, when was it that God really implanted this idea to develop thought leaders on your heart? And what has he kind of transformed it into today?
So for me, this vision really started to develop as I left Liberty. I went to work for John Maxwell for 5 years, who's a leadership author. Many, I'm sure, listeners have read his books. And I was greatly influenced by traveling the country with him as he taught leadership to pastors, to business leaders, people in the marketplace. But it was during that season that God really started to arrest my heart around my generation. I was in my 20s at the time, really walking away from the church. And I know as we continue to look at the data, we see that that trek away from the church has consistently happened with this younger generation in our American culture. But I was so motivated to better understand what would leadership look like as it related to this generation, understanding their role as Christians in the culture. And I recognized that I had been missing this gap where I didn't understand that a Christian's responsibility in the world was essential to take up their post wherever they've been called, whether it's in government, media, education, politics. It could be a programmer, a technologist, a filmmaker, a documentarian, a singer, a filmmaker, right? It's like every single place that we've been called, if we bring the light of the gospel to that space, which brings people to truth, that helps redemption take place, then when we start to live in that way, it actually brings such meaning and purpose to our life and our calling. And we're less concerned about escaping the world and ultimately reaching our eternal destination. And we actually become really excited and enthusiastic about the role we have to play here. And it was through that that I started to get very clear on my mission was to help more and more Christians really discover the breadth and the depth of how the Christian faith could play out in their life. And that led us to this point of creating all kinds of spaces, events, content designed to help train Christians to know how to be thought leaders in whatever area that they've been called to. And so we create content, events, experiences, and any number of podcasts and other things that just help equip Christians to know how to engage the cultural moment, to engage the conversations their friends are having, their kids are having, and to know how to do that with confidence that the Christian faith has something really positive and great to offer to that situation.
And Gabe, I love what you're saying in terms of just being able to dive into and equip Christians for such a time as this to engage the cultural moment that they may find themselves in. But really what you spent a lot of time doing was emphasizing trying to help people ask the right and the most effective questions. A lot of our listeners and viewers, they may be pretty familiar with Q Ideas, where you really took this no topic is off limits approach and offer thoughtful guides to help individuals navigate the complex intersection of faith and 21st century culture. But recently, you've transitioned kind of away from Q Ideas and now what you call Think Media, spelled T-H-I-N-Q. Gabe, I'm interested, why the transition, but also what is Think Media all about?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, I mean, with the same organization for 20 years, we've been gathering leaders to get them to think well about culture, and we called that Q Ideas, and it did stand for questions. We felt like creating space where people learned through asking questions. They weren't just told what to think, but they self-discovered it was a much more effective way for them to learn, and that just has played out as it's evolved over the last couple of years. We decided to be more clear about what we were doing. We didn't just want people to ask questions. We wanted them to think well. So we decided to change our brand to Think, and thinkmedia.com, spelled with a Q, like you said. And the Q stands for questions. In fact, each letter stands for something. So in the word think, T-H-I-N-Q, it actually embeds how to think. And so the T stands for theology. Like as a Christian, we start with God's view of any issue, of any matter. The H stands for history. We want to think well by understanding the history of events, also the history of ideas. There's very few new ideas under the sun. And when we take the time to understand where did this ideology come from, we can think well about it. The I stands for inquiry. It's another way of saying to be curious, to be people that want to learn about a subject and to learn from multiple sources. You don't just have to learn from Christians as a Christian to know how to think well about something. We can discover a lot from other people in our world who've done good work and scholarship on a variety of issues. The N then talks more to our posture, nuance. How do we communicate about these ideas? How do we persuade people towards the truth? Well, we do that by being sensitive to their story, understanding that a lot of the topics we're going to talk about are complex, and it takes a great deal of understanding and sensitivity and listening to know how to engage with someone. And so we want to be the kinds of people that represent that well. And then finally, we get to the Q again, which when we think that way, we actually ask better questions than usually other people are asking about a particular topic. We ask deeper questions. We ask questions that really go to the human heart, that go to the human condition of how God designed us, but also the ways in which the enemy and sin has corrupted that, and ultimately to the hope of redemption and restoration through Christ. And so that led us to the new brand of Think, to say, let's help Christians in a time where there's lots of confusion, there's not always certainty of who you can trust, be really clear. We don't want to just ask questions. We also want to help people know how to think well about matters that really are important today for Christians to know how to engage well.
As you're saying, Gabe, it almost comes across as like we live in a dog-eat-dog world out there where it's difficult to sometimes have these conversations, right, about these controversial issues and topics. People do whatever it take, right, to get their point across, and it kind of brings a challenge where it rests in understanding that it's hard to, you know, come let us reason together in such a time as this. So I'm interested, how do we approach these kind of conversations in a more empathetic but also, like you said, a more truth-filled way?
Yeah, well, a lot of the videos and content that we produce over the course of the year, it's over 100 different conversations that we host. Some of those are live at our in-person events. We do a culture summit every spring and a next-gen summit in the fall that are all designed to pull leaders in a room and to hear over 30 different talks and conversations. And our talks are short, and I think, Zach, that's made it a little better for people to consume. We do 9-minute talks, and we actually time them. So when you're at an event, the clock's counting down. The speaker only has 9 minutes, and it's usually on a really important topic to help us know how to think well about it. Some of them are a little bit longer. And then throughout the year, we're hosting interviews and conversations and creating podcasts, all designed to address current issues. To the point of what are the most controversial? I mean, it just feels like every week there's a new one, right, that you're trying to engage, you know, as of late. you know, I would say gender, that kind of confusing area of trying to understand gender and gender ideology, LGBTQ, those tend to rise to the top of the list for a lot of parents, a lot of church leaders, a lot of people who are trying to work through how does a Christian think well about this, but also base their thinking off of truth and off of biblical conviction and faithfulness, all the way to topics around, I would say, technology, artificial intelligence, mental health, something that you deal with all the time. The conversations essentially that the world's bringing to us, it's what the headlines might be speaking about on a daily basis. When you see a headline, I believe that Christians ought to have something thoughtful to add to that conversation. And so whatever you're reading in the headlines, we likely have produced and curated content around that subject. And we've tried to do it in a way, and sometimes it goes great. Sometimes maybe we leave that conversation going, I wish we could have done a little bit more. But the point is, we're trying to bring with humility helpful conversations to the public square that help us think well about that topic and think about it biblically, historically, with curiosity, nuance, and ask better questions. And so we're doing that consistently, and I would say what we're finding is a lot of people are hungry for this. Like you said, a polarized world, things are very divisive. It's hard to find these spaces where people are having respectful conversations, even when they disagree sometimes. And we've been trying to create that kind of a space, I'd say, over the last 20 years. So that's given us a lot of, I would say, people that have just been faithful part of this community and consider us a place to come when they're trying to learn and go deeper into any number of subjects.
But Gabe, what I would keep, you know, asking as we progress in the conversation is we do, like you mentioned, truth sometimes does seem as if it was dying. Now, we know from a biblical perspective that truth can never die, right? Because truth, at the end of the day, truth's a person. It is found in Christ. But that doesn't mean that it's always embraced either, Gabe. And so in a world and country and society sometimes where it seems like a lot of good is being called evil and a lot of evil is being called good, at what line, right, do we kind of draw the line in terms of this biblical truth? As Jesus said, when do you shake the dust off your feet and kind of move on and you stay true kind of to your standard and to yourself and you don't even engage in some of those battles?
Yeah, and it really comes down, I think, Zach, to audience, you know, like I 100% agree. I mean, truth is truth. It's truth, right? And Francis Schaeffer, you know, you go back 60 years, he was like warning about this moment where truth would become so subjective and so relative that people's mental health would suffer because they would actually be being told lies that they knew were wrong. I mean, you think about a child who's growing up in a world where they're told, no, you don't need to be a boy or a girl, or you can choose who you are and what your identity is, like you're telling a child actually a lie, which means mentally they're going, wait, you're telling me that's true, but I know intuitively, like I know that that is not true. You actually start to create disconnection. It starts to create schizophrenia. Like it starts to create true conditions for people psychologically when we don't tell the truth. So I think we're living in the moment that C.S. Lewis, that Francis Schaeffer, that others actually warned us about, but how do we live through it? If you're speaking to those who are within the faith and they claim to be Christians and they're actually promoting things that are literally falsehoods and they're not true and they're not lies, then absolutely you shake the dust off after confronting, after trying to bring them back to repentance and to call them towards that. You do that and then you keep moving forward. But to the non-believer, I don't know that we get the pass to ever check out and to suggest that we don't have to show up and continue to persuade, continue with compassion, with love, with kindness, draw out of them the depths of how they've been designed in the image of God. I believe those depths are in every human heart and soul, and I think of how Christ obviously never gave up on us. We shouldn't give up. It can be really hard work. It can take so much patience. But I think that diligence to just continue to show up and engage in these conversations about ideas with people and not hold it to them as this is something that's innate to them, but it's just an idea that they've been confronted with. And if God might use us to free them to see something that would be true. And if the Holy Spirit would grant that to them, then we want to be a part of that. And so it is difficult, and I will say it's getting more and more challenging. But what I'm encouraged about, Zach, and I know you're seeing this too, but the younger generation, there's such a hunger for truth. They're growing up in a world where there's so much that's they realize is fake and false, and they're growing up in a world of digital identity and so many things that aren't feeling real. And they're going, "What is real? Will you help me understand reality? what is actually true. And so there is an opportunity developing to actually speak to them in terms that I would say for the last few generations, maybe that opportunity hasn't quite existed. And many of them don't already have a projection that they're putting to the church that says, hey, I don't want to hear about Christianity, or I've heard the gospel story so many times, I'm writing you off. Many of them would say, actually, nobody's ever told me that story. And so there's a new opportunity if those of us who've been in the faith for a long time can see it and can operate with confidence in that kind of space.
I think that's so inevitable and important what you're just saying, because I work a lot with the next gen, and just being able to help them unlock or unleash the potential and the purpose that sometimes they kind of suppress within themselves because either they don't see it within themselves or someone or something has unfortunately maybe damaged that within them. So just being able, like you said, to call that out of them, it's so important. And it kind of brings us into the next question, which was, you know, Ephesians 4:15 talks about that we're called to speak the truth in love, right? We do that to the next gen. We speak that truth overall, but then that prompts a big question, which comes down to, you know, does truth trump love or does love trump truth? A lot of people don't understand that battle, Gabe. And so when we're talking about truth and love, sometimes even you see it in culture and society, you see it in the next gen all the time. We weaponize this fact that our feelings trump all else. Sometimes the truth can just be flat out hard though, Gabe. What is kind of your word or your messaging in terms of that conversation?
Well, a good friend of mine who's a PGA golfer, okay, and I love golf, and he's helped me a little bit, but man, I've got a lot further to go. But he's won tournaments, and so I'll say that. I'm not going to give his name, but what he said to me, he goes, feelings are real. They're just not reliable.
Yeah.
And he likened it to the fact that he had won golf tournaments with a golf swing. Those of you who play golf, that never felt right to him. He's like, I'm swinging. I'm doing the right mechanic. It feels so weird. Mm. But I won golf tournaments. And then I've lost way more golf tournaments where it felt great.
Yeah.
But the ball was not going where I intended it to go. And his point was, as it relates to us, is that we're all going to have feelings that are important. Our emotions are important. But we live in a world that's actually, emotivism's the term that's assigned to this idea that we know truth through our emotion. We know truth, especially as Christians. We understand we know truth through the revelation of God, as we've seen through his scriptures. And when we start to think that we know the truth, or your truth and my truth or just different truths, we start to realize that this is all a house of cards, that there can only be one truth. And we're all trying to understand what is actually true. And until we can identify what that is, then we are a bit lost in trying to keep up with the latest feelings and what people want to feel good about. And so I think the danger of not being clear on what you know to be true and it not being conviction that's rooted in scripture is we are tossed with kind of the waves of the times and whatever, wherever the wind's blowing and whatever our friends are excited about or what people are compassionate about or however they're expressing what they believe to be wrong in the world can actually get very misguided. And when we actually base it on truth and what we see in scripture, now our emotions will align with what that is, which means to be people of compassion and love and gentleness as we approach people that, again, have different ideas that they've believed, but we can still be compassionate to them. But I also think we understand that we can hold to our convictions and that when we do that, that's actually going to produce a way better conversation and a really a better testimony for what it means as Christians.
It's a great word. Feelings are real. They're just not reliable. I've also heard that feelings are great indicators. They're just horrible dictators, right? So it's just identifying those two truths right there. As we kind of are wrapping this up, it reminds me of a story in Scripture, 1 Kings chapter 3, where Solomon was in a sense given like that one wish from God in that dream where it was like, Solomon, if you could have anything, what would you take? What do you want? Rather than the fame and the fortune, he comes from a difficult home life. He could have asked for, you know, just his family to be brought together. He asked for one thing. This is what he asked for, an understanding mind to govern the Lord's people that he may discern between good and evil. In other words, he asked for wisdom. Gabe, how does a listener out there today who maybe isn't just given a wish, right, to say like, make me a wise person, how do we begin taking steps toward becoming a man or woman of wisdom and discernment?
Yeah, well, it's such a great question. I mean, and I think it ties back to what you were just saying about truth. You know, we're in a world that fights over truth. And, you know, the thing that I realize is you can have truth but not always wisdom, because wisdom's the application of truth to that moment. But you can't have biblical wisdom without truth. And so this pursuit of wisdom is a big deal. The reason Solomon asked for it and the reason we sit back and go, man, we can can actually read through the Proverbs and learn and cultivate an understanding of wisdom is God wanted us to be people that lived with a different perspective. You know, our world has so much more information today than it's ever had, but we actually lack wisdom. So this pursuit of wisdom is important, and I would encourage people, read through Proverbs. You will see so many declarations of what it means to be a person of wisdom, but then ultimately ask the Lord for wisdom, because like you said, He gives it freely to all who ask. So let's ask for it. Let's actually see how the proficiency of having biblical and godly wisdom in a season where there's so much chaos and confusion will actually be a way in which God may use you to lift you up, to actually give you a position of authority in a room. Maybe it's amongst your friends. Maybe it's those who are questioning all kinds of things or living in fear. When you walk in and have wisdom instead of fear, you actually bring life to the community that you've been called to lead and to steward. And so I think it's an excellent thing for us to pursue. It's an incredible pursuit, and it's amazing more that God says He wants to give it to us freely. All we have to do is ask.
That's right. Seek truth and ask for wisdom. Gabe Lyons, I just cannot thank you enough again for all the incredible work that you're doing, for the friendship of you and Rebecca and your family, to all of us here at the American Association of Christian Counselors. We love and appreciate you, sir.
Thank you, Zach.
On behalf of myself, Zach Clinton, and my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and all of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, stay blessed and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. My friend Ed Stetzer has often said, a church without the broken is a broken church. You know, it's clear that the church has often struggled to address complex reasons for why people suffer. One key issue has been a lack of understanding around the differences between sin, mental illness, and spiritual struggles. As a result, misdiagnosis, improper treatment remain all too common at the intersection of mental health and Christian ministry. Christians must remember that physicians, medicines, and even healing remedies were used throughout Scripture. Just as a diabetic needs insulin to stay healthy and someone with poor vision needs glasses to see, those facing mental health challenges may need medication and certainly godly counseling to help heal their hearts and their minds. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and co-host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Time magazine reported that families who regularly share meals together have kids who are less likely to smoke, drink, use drugs, get depressed, develop eating disorders, or even consider suicide. And here's the kicker. They're also more likely to do better in school, delay sexual activity, eat their vegetables, and hey, they might even know which fork to use. Now, this might surprise you, but the age group that benefits most? Teens. One national study found that those teens who ate with their families three times a week or less wished they had done so more often. That's because in the end, it's not about food, it's about time. It's about you, mom and dad, being present, sharing, shaping hearts. How often should you eat together? As much as possible. Why? Because the family that eats together stays together. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to AACC.net.